Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda and I am in beautiful Waco, Texas. And I have my co-host, Margaret Sheldon, on the line. Good morning, Margaret. How are you?
Good morning. This is like breakfast with Leslie and Margaret. I can tell you, you sort of have, you know, like a husky morning voice going. What time is it in Waco?
Well, it's 7 a.m., but I'm kind of getting a cold, so that's where that's coming from.
It's all that travel. Well, that's all right. I'm sitting here with hot coffee.
Me too.
It was 32 degrees when I woke up this morning. And, 32 degrees, and which means my dahlias are done. If anyone's a gardener out there, they know that, okay, I have to give it up now. It's over.
But oh, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Everything, you know, everything has its season. And I woke up. My friend Eileen, who I've spoken of before, always sends me these. It's her first year in a new house, so she sends me these beautiful images of sort of what her view looks like. And it was, I had a sort of premonition. I thought, oh, I know what's coming this morning. And sure enough, snow. She's
snow?
Out in,
really? Where is
yeah,
she?
She's in the Catskill Mountains, so north of New York City. And, you know, you knew it was coming, but this week it was just gorgeous colors and mountains and everything. And then today, snow. So I thought, well, there's no fighting it. The season has changed. And here we are. Let's hear about, no one wants to hear about my weather. First of all, everyone assumed I was with you. Can I tell you how many emails or Facebook
kidding.
Comments I got that said, Margaret, are you there? Are you there? I thought, no, I'm a girl on a budget too. Can't go everywhere. But tell us about Waco.
Okay, so for everybody that doesn't know, I am in Waco. And I'll never forget, I told one student I was doing this boot camp in Waco, and she goes, why?
Well, she's not
and
a fan
said,
of Fixer Upper.
Because I'm a huge fan of the show Fixer Upper.
Yep.
And I booked the Magnolia House, which is a home that the two people on the show who do the most amazing renovations purchased. They showed the house to a couple on one show, and they didn't pick this one. They picked another one. But Joanna Gaines really liked it, so they bought it and fixed it up and turned it into kind of a B&B. You have to rent the whole house, which I did this week. And we are here, and it's amazing. What is so perfect about this location is the boot camp. Almost all day yesterday, we talked about redefining your brand and really understanding who your audience is. And this morning, everybody's presenting their new brand. I mean, it's really exciting. And the what they have done in this house and at the what's called the Magnolia Silos area is completely unbelievable. It's the most well thought out, perfectly planned, branded thing I've ever seen in my life.
Is
that incredible.
Right?
Every time I turned around, I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe they did that. And so yesterday we worked until 3, and then we hopped in the car because we're about 15 minutes from Waco. We're in a little town called McGregor. And we went up there, and we spent the afternoon at the property. And the silos are huge, obviously, but they have this wonderful grassy area that's open. They have a garden, which just makes me want to cry because it's so unbelievable. And a garden store that's so cute. And then they do have all the food trucks, which have, there's one that's like a grilled cheese gourmet place. And I have to confess, I had something and it was unbelievable. And then they have her bakery, which is just the cutest place you've ever been in your life. And then they have this huge, the Magnolia store, and it's the most amazing experience ever. And it's just been incredible. And they're so generous to us here in the house. I mean, discount coupons and things from the bakery. And it's really, really been incredible. So we are having so much fun. Last night we stayed up till 1 talking. I know, we're having a really great time. It's really, really been fun. So I'm very blessed, and it's just such a perfect place to be when you kind of see the from the outside, from the inside looking out, the business model of what they've done and how they've branded the whole Magnolia enterprise, I guess I want to call it. And it's just been so cool. Really, really fun.
Isn't that amazing? So I have one question about the silos, because obviously I do watch the show, and I saw, you know, when Johanna brought him there to say that she had this idea.
Right.
Have they put their offices inside the silos now?
No,
their design
there's nothing
office?
Inside.
Ah. Okay.
No, those are upstairs of the huge, I think it was like a warehouse building right next door to the silos.
Okay.
And there's nothing inside. I don't know if they're actually going to put anything inside the silos. My understanding is that they were going to be torn down. And there's such a cool part of the town. I mean, they're almost like a landmark. And
right.
All this infrastructure, big metal tracks and everything that are up high that lead from the silos, where I'm assuming when they took the grain out, they put them on like the conveyor belts. And all that's kind of been incorporated. And every inch is so dang perfect that it blows me away.
Isn't that
great? Even here
I
at the house.
It.
Yeah, my favorite line was we were, you'll laugh, I was buying a water, and they had this chalkboard sign, and every single sign has, obviously someone is like a calligrapher, and they've done the exact same font, you know, on the chalkboard. And I said to the gal,
I love it.
Hey, do you know what? Like, what kind of chalk or what kind of pen do you know that they use for that? And she goes, oh, you know what? That would be, you'd have to ask somebody on the image team for that.
Lord.
And I was like, I want an image team.
No kidding. Well, if you want one of those chalk paint pens,
team.
I can tell you where to get them.
Oh, I've already ordered one. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure.
Just everything is incredible. I'm so blown away, and it's really kind of helped, I think, everyone put into focus what we're trying to achieve when we're here. And it's
because
just an amazing
see,
group
right?
of artists. We're living and breathing it every time we turn around, and yet we're realizing how important it is to do that for each one of us. So it's really incredible. Can I just say that?
And all of your artists are good and strong, and they can lift the 250-page manual that you put together.
Yes, they can.
I can't believe you were able to get all of that on the plane to bring with you. It must have weighed 50 pounds.
Oh, yeah.
Or more.
They're only 127 pages.
Oh, there
but
you
really
go.
You've
edited.
So they weigh a lot more.
Good.
But I'm not an idiot.
Goodness.
I planned this because I bought a whole bunch of stuff yesterday, and it's actually going to fit in my suitcase because I'm not taking the notebooks back with me.
There you go. Good.
So,
oh, I see. Yeah. Empty space for purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful.
You got it.
Well, I hope you post some pictures, or no doubt you'll be blogging all about this, so we'll get to read about it. That's great.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
So
all right.
We're having
well,
a great time. We really
I'm
are.
I'm envious. And for anybody else who wants to know, no, I am here in Boston where it's 32 degrees.
It's going to be 88 today here, just so you know.
Oh, Lord. I don't feel envious, though. I really do love the change of season, so I'm fine with it.
I understand that. I really do. Hmm. So we actually do have a show today. We're not going to talk about Waco and
but we could,
picture up
but
the whole
no,
time,
no.
I promise. I know. We really could. I could talk about branding, but no, I don't think anyone, certainly in this house,
not
wants
today.
To hear me talk anymore. But today's show is called How to Jumpstart Your Art Career on a Budget. And it's simply a fact of life that good things will often cost some money. It just kind of seems to be nature's way. And there are so many newsletters and magazine articles written about how you can, you know, trade coffee at Starbucks for art supplies. And I have to admit, half the time when I give a cost of something, I think I equate it to Starbucks coffee. And everyone knows. So, you know, if you
everyone
order a latte,
knows.
It's $5.
Oh,
and it's entirely up to you, obviously, how you want to allocate your resources. But the point is, there's no question that art materials are not a necessity and that they're costly.
Yeah.
But you get to choose your medium, and some mediums are more costly than others. There's no doubt. Mm-hmm. If oil painting's too expensive for you right now as an artist, consider watercolors or acrylics because the cost of your supplies are definitely less. You can look at Craigslist or one of the art yard sales on Facebook for materials. I actually bought something on eBay last week, and you're going to laugh. Someone was selling 90 tubes of water-based oil paint, the brand that I use. And they were slightly used, but they were really inexpensive, like a dollar a tube or less. And I bought them.
Have they arrived yet?
Totally random. No, I think they have arrived, but I'm in Waco.
I would just be afraid that they might be hard, but there was probably a description.
Well, it turns out I kind of know the person who's selling them, just from Facebook
perfect.
And whatnot. So totally comfortable that they're in perfectly good working order. And it's going
to
be
I just think you need to ask questions when you make those purchases. And then I would do it in a heartbeat. I know so many people who buy easels that way just to try them out.
Oh, and it's a great idea. It's definitely a way, especially if you're just starting out to be an artist to get those supplies that you want. You can buy the rolling carts at IKEA, which costs I think $20. You can in my studio, everything has been repurposed. I have an old garden bench that was stuck in my carriage house forever before I actually kind of tidied it up and made it an art studio. But you can look on Craigslist. You can look at the art yard sales on Facebook for materials. And, if you don't have a budget for any supplies, start with pencils and draw. The important thing is to start doing what you love, and you'll be able to grow and try other mediums along the road. And don't get caught up, even if you're just doing oil painting, in the I need the best brands. I need to use Gamblin art to start out with. They have student-grade paints for a reason. And the reason they have those is because you can still use good oil paints, but they're at a much lower priced price bracket, and it gives you a chance to not worry about using too much paint and whatnot just because they're a lot less expensive.
Yeah, so often I hear the advice that, don't buy the student grade, you really need to invest in the good materials. And the truth is not everybody can afford that. I mean, those tubes, some of those blues, those alizarin crimsons even, they get expensive. So I think especially when you're starting out, you can assume you're not going to be doing your best work, and it's okay. It's really okay. I would hate to think of someone who's really got the, yearning to do art not doing it because they couldn't afford the materials. So, it's okay. You have full permission to get yourself going in any way you can.
I agree.
Another way to sort of, get things going and without spending a whole lot of money is reading some of the, really wonderful art books out there. And that can sometimes, you have a question you can't even identify in terms of what maybe isn't working in your, early attempts, and you don't have the advantage of a teacher. Well, take a look at some of those books. I'm not going to list them because I know, Leslie, I can think of at least two AHA shows that talked about everyone's favorite art books. But you can probably even look up a list, but you can certainly listen to the show. And they're all at your local library. The libraries now are so intertwined. If they don't have it, they can get it for you. Those same lines, always, always go look at good art to inspire your own. I mean, maybe that's you're so at the start of things that you haven't really even produced anything yet. But you will learn a lot by looking at art, whether it's museums or galleries or magazines or online. It's I don't know. I always find it to be like super inspirational. It's one of those things. So I'm trying to see if I go next. I think I do. I wrote these notes.
You do.
One eye open. And I'll tell you, I've had too much art this week, all of it late at night. Three different crit groups because I'm trying to figure out where I belong. Whew. Anyway, without a doubt.
Good for you.
Is it?
I think.
I don't know.
I
couldn't write a straight sentence. But That's okay. I've come to a decision. I think it's like deciding who you're going to go to prom with. At any rate, along with, there's so many analogies here. Along with reading the books, I think finding a teacher or some sort of a mentor, and by that I mean maybe it's not a formal teacher, but a friend whose work you admire or who, mm-hmm. you know, gives good advice. My husband yeah. doesn't paint, but boy, is he a great critic. Anyway, if you find someone, I didn't mean that in a negative way.
I'm laughing. No,
I know. About that.
I think we all agree.
We should talk about the
yeah.
word crit, because I know that there are people who are terrified of it, but it's really a good thing. At any rate, find someone who can
mm-hmm.
help you, and that can be really rewarding because, you know, I find this when you're in a group of painters, someone can say, oh, have you seen, you know, this new green? And you think, no. And like they kind of are suggesting you give it a try, and you do, and you think, wow, it's exactly what I needed. Having someone give you a little piece of advice can sometimes
mm-hmm.
make your art so much better that you can sell a piece. And we could, you know, wax poetic about pricing your early art to sell. But if you sell a piece of art, that will allow you to buy more paints. It's a joke I know everyone has heard me make. I sell so I can buy more paints or easels or chairs or whatever it is I'm looking for. But it is sort of a wonderful thing to be able to sort of live off the land, as it were. You know, if you can get your paintings good enough so somebody else wants them, it's going to keep you painting.
That's true.
Lastly, I know we're going to talk a lot about workshops here because, well, I'll talk about what I think the benefits
are down
the road. Oh,
wait, let me add something first. That because
yeah.
while taking a workshop can be very expensive, there are a few things you can do to bring the cost down. And while we hesitate to say everyone should take a workshop, Margaret and I both really strongly feel that it's one of the most important things we did to advance our careers. When I first started out, I
right.
went out and took 4 workshops. That's the first thing I did over a period of 6 or 7 months. And I was lucky because most of them were local. And I live in Southern California, so I had pretty good access to artists. But there are so many reasons why workshops are great for you. You can get a lot of feedback from other artists, and
mm-hmm.
it just turned out for me to completely kind of cement everything I wanted to know about painting in, you know, 6 months or less.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get thrown into an environment like that, and you're out of all your distractions at home, there's really only one thing you can do, and that's paint and obviously learn. So, and we're going to talk about workshops quite a bit on the show today because they are technically what some people may think is expensive. But I can tell you, when asked the question, what was the most valuable thing you did to jumpstart your career, the number one answer from artists was taking the right workshop. So
yeah.
it's not something that you want to, you know, kind of disregard. But fortunately, we are in a time where the cost and everything for that can be certainly reduced to the traditional format of flying across country and taking a workshop. So it's
but doesn't that sound
kind of
good
a good
too.
Situation. I know.
Yeah. I know. It's a funny thing. I don't want to say that it's the only way to get there fast, but for me, it also validated this new sort of focus in life. And I think that's because when you do a workshop, right, you drop yourself in. And it's sort of like being in the ocean without a ring, really. You are there and you suddenly realize that you've made a commitment. It's kind of it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy of growth because
mm-hmm.
by deciding to do it.
It's different
what?
Than taking a local art class, which is also a great thing. Very
different. I do think it's very different. I think and you know, we're going to talk a lot about how important it is that you find the right teacher for you, but
mm-hmm.
I thought about this as I was contemplating the show. I thought the right teacher is a wonderful thing, but you know, even a just a plain old good teacher, it may not be exactly the right fit for you, but nevertheless, you're still away from the daily responsibilities of your life. You are surrounded by other people that are interested in this thing that you love. And you're right, that ability to focus for more than a couple of hours, and that's the difference, I think, when you actually leave your life and go somewhere to do, whether it's, you know, 3 days, 4 days, whatever, of art, you are kind of removing any distraction. It's very indulgent, but it's so rewarding. So, I don't know, we'll also talk about saving up for workshops, because I think that is a noble pursuit. Anyway, regarding workshops, let's just plunge right in here. We've heard from a lot of painters out there who tell us that a workshop sounds great, but, you know, why do we keep talking about them? Because they're very concerned about how expensive it is, that they're out of reach for many folks. And, you know, I get that. It can be a little indulgent, a little expensive, but, you know, there are tools and there are means that you can employs where you can go about and get at least some of the benefits without necessarily, you know, emptying your bank account. And I think we should talk a little bit about what those local workshops can offer you. Leslie, when you say you did workshops in Southern California, I'm guessing that means you didn't fly there, obviously. But did you stay there? Did you pony up for a hotel? How did that work?
No, I didn't. One of them, now, so I live in the Pasadena area, and both of these workshops that were actually back-to-back, if you can believe it, I was kind of crazy, they were down in Laguna Beach, which is probably about a 55-minute drive. Now, one of those I drove back and forth, which wasn't a big deal, but the other one, my sister lived down there, and I just stayed with her. And I could have stayed with a friend easily, too. So I didn't have any of those costs. Because the problem with taking a workshop, and maybe you look at the cost of the workshop, and you're like, oh, I can afford that. But you have to think about transportation, lodging. You know, there's a lot of other costs that go along with that. And
well, we'll break that
I was
down.
Lucky. I know, I stayed with my sister.
Because, well, you know why? When it's a local workshop, you think to yourself, am I missing out by not being sort of at the hotel? And I think it's more important to take the workshop, whether you are staying where everyone stays or not. I think you can get so much more out of it than like a three-hour class that, you know, it tips the balance. So I think what we should talk about is a little bit, you know, what goes into making that decision and what your expectations should be.
Well, there's a lot of reasons to decide to take a workshop. I mean, maybe you're just starting and you want to dedicate, you know, some time in your life to art, which is fantastic, and congrats if that's where you are. Maybe you want a workshop for kind of a mid-career check-in or tune-up, if you will. And a lot of us like to take workshops along the way just because you're an artist and you're teaching, for example, doesn't mean you want to stop learning from new people. I mean, that's what we try to do every day. You know, and maybe you're trying a new medium. When I started painting abstracts, I took a workshop with Bob Burge because, you know, he was local once again, and I stayed with another artist, and actually three of us stayed together, and we had a fabulous time. It was so much fun. And so it doesn't matter, you know, why you're taking it, because the benefits are many and they're very diverse. So I think the most important thing to remember that you're choosing to do this, and if you do your homework, you'll be able to find a workshop that's really well suited to what you're looking for. There are a lot of them out of there. And whether you work from your kitchen table at night or you have a really great, lovely, tricked out studio or anywhere in between, you know, you'll be working alone much of the time. We talked about this yesterday, that how lonely it is to be an artist. And you do have that desire for company and peers and cohorts and friends. And we're all very social. And even if you thrive working by yourself, it can become difficult. And it's also kind of hard to work, I think, in a vacuum. So as artists, it's only natural that we want feedback on what we're doing, and just to be able to communicate and learn from other people and paint in a group. Because I think it's really important to respect people who are giving you feedback, and you can get it from your family and you can get it from your friends, but being with other artists, is there's no other experience like it. And I learn so much from my students in the workshops. I can't even believe it. Someone asked me yesterday, you know, do you love teaching workshops? And I said, it's my favorite thing to do.
Sure.
I learn so much from my students. And when it comes to things like supplies and just, it's a really, I think, important component of being an artist. So.
And you know, isn't it remarkably, it's a remarkably supportive environment. You know, I think,
I
you know, we've talked a lot about, especially beginners, right? We've talked about how they worry that their work isn't good enough. And, you know, we've sort of smiled and said, nobody's looking at your work, which is true. But at the same time, if you ask for help or feedback, people, at least the ones I've seen in any workshop I've done, no one is out to tell you that you're bad. They will find, you know, the place in your painting that's good and start from there. So no one should be fearful of that. And I think, you know, today what we're trying to do is really help everyone out there find, you know, sort of a community of support, you know, doing whatever they can to sort of keep in touch with the world, even though, you know, you're home alone, and finding ways to do that on a really restrictive budget. I totally get what that's like. You know, traveling to a workshop, as we said, it's, listen, hands down, it is a wonderful experience. But, you know, as we keep saying, it does add up in terms of cost. And, you know, kind of exploring the ways you can get some of those benefits near to home is, it's really worth spending, you know, a few hours doing that. And, you know, you were just saying how we're social animals. And I laugh because the one thing I miss, you know, having left a full-time job last year and working from home, I miss coworkers and coworkers of all ages. And it's funny because I tend to think of myself as a little extroverted, and maybe that makes, you know, sense, and therefore I crave a little community. But I think it's important to address the fact that a lot of people who are artists consider themselves introverts. They're the ones that think that they can, you know, they're very happy at home. They love being by themselves. They've never liked being, you know, sort of called on or having to speak in front of class. And therefore, they're going to stay in their studio, in their world. But I just want to say to that person, you know, don't do it. Like, even if you're an introvert who loves solitude, there is a place for you in a workshop, and, you know, you can quietly get as much benefit from it as the extrovert who's, like, really energetic and is, you know, talking all the time and is sort of waiting for the applause. I hope that's not me. But I think that it's important to know that the community that you build, even if it's maybe a quiet one, is one that can be really, really beneficial. Because let's face it, even those introverts amongst us put their work out there, and feedback, I think, again, you just said you have to respect your teacher. I think, you know, once you trust a group, feedback can really be the thing that's the catalyst to make your work grow. And, you know, for the introverts in their studios, this might be exactly what they need. So I'm just begging them to consider it.
I think that's great advice. And it's not only feedback, it's positive reinforcement. We have a tendency as artists when we're in our studios to doubt ourselves like crazy. I can't believe it. We had this classic example last night where I showed the art of one of our students to someone else, and they were blown away. I mean, she was beside herself. She could not believe that she had not seen this art. And she was like, I mean, it was so It was the most wonderful thing to see. And, you know, getting support and recognition from your peers is so important. So, I mean, as we've talked about workshops, I mean, there's in your career, there's a lot of reasons, you know, throughout your career to take a workshop. And if you're first starting out, it's a great way to learn that you're not alone. There's so many beginners out there. There's a lot of women my age and your age, Margaret, who are kind of starting the second career after the kids maybe are grown or after, you know, we've had a full-time job and it's time to, you know, be able to try that dream that we've had about being
right.
an artist.
Right, it's finally time.
I know. Yeah. And there's also, you know, young, you know, men and women who are just out of college who want to be artists. I mean, there's so many different times, but regardless of where you are in terms of, you know, success, experience, or commitment, when you attend a workshop, you'll find out there are others out there just like you. And they're going to help you define what your goals are and what you want to do with your art. It's inspirational. And
true.
If you're kind of in the middle of your career, that mid-career artist is looking for support and inspiration, as always. And you'll find if you're in that level of your workshop, it's a little bit of a different experience because you can actually give advice and you can really help interact. And so you will learn so many things. I mean, Margaret, where did you and I meet? In a workshop.
In a workshop? It is frightening to me how many people.
Dear
yeah.
art friends
yeah.
I met in workshops.
It's true.
And that social group of friends that where we communicate on Facebook and, I mean, I can't imagine if I wouldn't have taken workshops or taught workshops, the group of people in my life that I wouldn't have. That just scares me to death. Because you guys are my closest art friends, and we do not live nearby. I live in L.A., and you're in friggin' Boston. So.
In chilly Boston.
But, I know. No,
yeah.
But you know what
yeah,
I mean.
No, it's true.
Friggin' cold Boston.
Yeah,
so
it is.
If you're in that middle time in your career, too, you often are able to hear your instructor in a different way and really use what he or she is saying. I think about when I took a workshop from Scott Christensen early in my career, probably wasn't the smartest idea because I was so far in over my head. It pushed me to places I never would have gone because I was trying so hard to paint
keep
like
up.
and keep up and not, you know, hide my canvas.
Yes.
And so I don't regret it at all, but I kind of wished I would have waited a couple years to take that where I would have had a bigger base and more confidence in my painting to have gone to his workshop. But, the timing doesn't really matter. I got so much out of it, but I do wish I would have been a little bit farther in my career.
Maybe we should go
but
back.
Inspiration, you know what? Yeah, but yeah, we really could. I mean, he's
talk
unbelievable.
Talk about that offline.
He's
yeah.
crazy, but he is expensive. Then that's probably my hesitation.
Yeah.
So I totally get the purpose of the show, but inspiration,
right.
support, and solid feedback to give and to
forever.
Receive is what every artist can get from a workshop. And you
yep.
can take some, all, or none of the feedback to heart, but this is really the stuff that can keep you growing. And I do encourage artists to try to take workshops throughout their career, not just in the beginning, because even if you teach, it is so much fun to be on the other side.
Oh, I absolutely.
It's so much
in
fun
fact,
to be a student in a workshop and not have to be the teacher.
And, you know, if your ego gets in the way, there's a problem. Like,
oh.
I think, besides with the opportunities to switch it up and try a different medium, if you're a painter, to go out there and try a printmaking workshop, why not?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But, again, I
totally
bought
agree.
One that was inexpensive. So.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you're not sure about this cost-benefit ratio, how's that? I sound like somebody who took an economics course once. But there is a cost-to-benefit ratio of a workshop. And what you need to do is you just need to sort of evaluate a few things, like why do you want to do that? You know, if you can decide ahead of time what it is you want to get out of a workshop, that's going to help you figure out which one to take. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, first and foremost, be sure that the cost of the workshop is within your budget. You know, make sure
right.
that what you spend, you will get to a point where, and I just recently had this, in fact, it was this year, had it happen, where I took a workshop, and as a direct result, I was able to sell a couple of paintings. I'd like
mm-hmm.
to stress that I did not sell anything that the instructor had touched, because I feel really strongly about that. You can't sell it as your own if somebody else has been on there. You've got to acknowledge that in some way. But at any rate, I suddenly realized that what I had done, and this is the first time it's ever happened, is I had paid for the workshop. So I think that, you know, you kind of decide what it is you want to get out of it. I didn't go in saying, I want to get enough paintings out of this that I can pay for it. But I did know that I had a few sort of issues I needed to resolve in my landscape painting. And thankfully, I did, and the result was sort of saleable art.
Mm-hmm.
But if you decide what you're going in looking for, you're also apt to ask better questions of the instructor, because you've kind of in your mind narrowed it down. You're not just sitting there taking it all in, but you know that you're trying to figure out a few specific things. So make it worth
right.
your while, in other words. And I
mm-hmm.
think you need to consider what happens, you know, if it just doesn't work out. You know, you're in a workshop, you've spent some money on it, and maybe it's not going exactly the way you wanted it to. I think, you know, I like to use a lot of sports metaphors, no harm, no foul. But the truth is, you're going to get out what you put into it. And
oh, so
you're
true.
Taking a workshop,
yeah.
and you're already stressed about what it's costing to you and whether or not you're going to get anything out of it. If you sort of get sucked up in that circle of should I or shouldn't I, you know, and you've got doubts, then wait. As much
mm-hmm.
as Leslie and I are saying everyone should do a workshop, it has to be the right time. You have to have the funds available. You know, you don't want to take food off your table. There's always going to be another workshop. I think timing is everything in terms of that cost-benefit ratio working out on the right side of the equation. You know, make sure everything lines up. This isn't a do or die, but it is the kind of thing that I think planning makes it work out. That's the best advice I can give. Choose well and be patient. But I think everybody knows that.
I so agree. And really, the first thing, you, if you're going to start taking a workshop or your budget's limited, which I'm sorry, we all have that issue, is to find one near you and save
yep.
the cost of travel and hotel. I mean, you know, flights and hotel. And the easiest way to do that is to find workshops near you is just to Google them. And there is also a website called artshow.com. Even though they publicize art shows, they have a really great section on workshops, and you can search it geographically. And go ahead.
I was going to say, is there a big listing of workshop too? It's just coming to me on the Painter's Keys, Robert Ginn's site. Don't they list workshops?
They do. It's not I don't think it's a huge list. I've looked at it, a couple years ago, but
I think they do a lot.
There are.
Yeah. A lot of international.
There's
workshops
a lot of
too. So
yeah.
yeah.
But look
Canada.
In the newsletters of nearby art associations, continuing, adult education listings, the bulletin boards of local art shops. They always have a place there where you can find out. You know, if you're going to a local art shop, ask the people that work there. Hey,
that's a great idea.
Teaches workshops around here. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
because, and, you know, after you find one or two, you might go home and then obviously Google the work of the instructor. And Margaret, I love this idea, and try a search for reviews. So type in reviews of ABC Art Workshop, and I think you'd be amazed at what you can learn, because personal recommendations are really important. And someone who's taken the workshop can say, "Hey, this is a workshop maybe that isn't good for beginners, or it's great for beginners,
right.
or it doesn't matter what level you're in." Because the art instructor figures out a way to, to motivate and help all different levels. But
mm-hmm.
Never underestimate the value of recommendations from friends. And you can also go out on, the beautiful World Wide Web and on Facebook. Say, hey, I'm I'm in Southern California and I'm looking for workshops. What would you recommend? And
you're
you'd
right.
be amazed at what people would do. I mean,
how much
information you can get. And that's what I call free advice.
It's true.
And it's probably the most important thing you should do.
Yeah, as opposed to just sort of picking a name out of a hat. Oh, I like his or her work and trying it. It's true because sometimes the best painters aren't necessarily the best teachers. And, I mean, that's just the truth of it. You know, someone who is a great teacher, you might not love their work, but if they're the ones that have insight and can sort of help you advance, there you go. I will tell you, and I'm sure I've said it before on this show, when I was leaving my job last year, it occurred to me that I should probably have a plan that would get me going. I thought I might have trouble the week after I left my job. So literally, within, I don't know, 8 or 9 days of leaving work, I started a one-week workshop. I Googled it. That's how I found it. I literally looked for workshops in New England because I thought, well, if I'm going to lose my income, I better not be flying all over. So, and it turned out to be probably one of the top 2 workshops I've ever taken. So I think that there are a lot of resources. You know, we talk about the recommendations from friends, and I just want to give a plug for the friends you've never met. You know, art friends on Facebook, if you don't have them, you should get them. If you want to know how to get them, I think you want to know how to get them, I think you go to Instagram, frankly, and you type in whatever it is you love, portrait paintings, landscape watercolors, and you start to see paintings that have been posted, and you just start looking at people's work till you find a few you like and start commenting. I guarantee you, you will start to see them more and more, and in a minute you'll be friends on Facebook. The community grows so organically. It's remarkable. But ask, you know, once you've sort of seen a name a few times, ask for help finding a workshop. Find artists who are near you and ask them. I think that that Facebook tool has, you wonder what your life would be like without your workshop friends. I wonder how any of us would make connections if it wasn't for the web, frankly.
Oh, but, I can't imagine. It's so different now than it was 20, 30 years ago. Very, very different. But don't, and I kind of mentioned this before, but don't overlook your local art association, because they're going to know of upcoming workshops. And I have to say, a lot of local art associations aren't really great on websites. And that's because these associations are all run by volunteers, and many of them don't know how to build a website. And so there is probably great workshops out there that maybe aren't listed anywhere. And so if you reach out, you probably get a lot more information and know about maybe workshops that haven't even been announced, but they're coming up. So another thing you can do is get on a wait list if one is sold out, especially if it's local, because things always happen. And I can tell you know, I had somebody that had to cancel the last minute for this workshop. And, you know, I think it's really important to just kind of, you know, try to be flexible if you can. And while you're waiting, think about saving maybe some funds for the workshop of your dreams, because
that's right.
They're pretty
darn
cool.
They
really are.
They pop up when you need them. Now let's get really inexpensive.
I know.
If you can't afford to travel, or, I mean, sometimes it's even, you know, if folks only have one car, you can't take the car to go. How are you going to do this? There's so much involved. Consider an online tutorial. If you compare the cost, because there's usually a fee, but if you compare the cost of an online tutorial, you know, you think about whether or not you're going to get any feedback. They have them where, you know, you do interact with the instructors. Sort of look at all that and just realize that if you're doing something online, you can watch it at your own schedule, day or night. And sometimes And I've just discovered this. I sort of feel like I need to confess that, you know, here I am. My side job these days is learning calligraphy because I have, you know, a daughter who's got certain invitation needs. Luckily, I happen to love this, and I have been doing online tutorials. Now, what a blast it is. They will, when they are live, you know, you can type in your questions, they answer them. It's phenomenal. But even with the online art tutorials, you can email questions to the teachers. There is a level of interaction. And I have to say that right now, I look at YouTube for everything. I was trying to figure out something about varnishing a painting. And I thought, how am I going to, you know, it's okay to read it, but how do I, well, sure enough, there was a YouTube video. And if a painter, particularly, or any artist, has a workshop online or a tutorial online, chances are there's one snippet or one free lesson that you can see without buying the course. I mean, it's like a try before you buy. But what a great way to figure out if you're going to like everything from their style of painting to their voice to whatever. It'll give you sort of a way to taste it. And I think this is going to be more and more, I suspect it's going to get more and more interactive, like these calligraphy tutorials. But I also think this is a way for someone who hasn't got the means or the opportunity to go to a workshop to at least start to sort of virtually learn. And I have to say, you can really build quite the community online using things like Google Hangouts, which, you know, they will connect a group of people. I think the max may be 10. But if you start to develop, you know, a group, I will tell you that I know a group of folks who got together from a workshop and put together a Google Hangout. It used to be that they put together an email group. Now they're doing these interactive video groups. But this is sort of a nice way to keep the workshop or keep the support or build the support that you're going to need around you.
We are so lucky to be in the time where you can do online workshops. And I teach them, so of course I'm slightly biased, but my online workshops are $35. I mean, they're
unbelievable.
Not expensive. Yeah,
that's a week's
really
worth of Starbucks. That's all.
I know.
So Leslie, really with your online workshops, do the participants ever email you with questions?
Oh, I have participants who aren't in my workshops who email me with questions. I had them last night. A gal who's taken a couple of my workshops was trying to do something on Weebly, and she has not signed up for my webinars class, which is where I teach people to build a website. And she had a question. She couldn't get the answer, and I answered it for her. And she's like, oh, my God, thank you so much. I'm like, it was easy for me. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think the people she was asking at Weebly understood her question, but as soon as she asked me, I knew. I was like, oh, I know how to do that. And so I get questions all the time. And
that's nice.
it's just a really nice way to take something from the comfort of your own home or studio, and they're really, I mean, the relative cost is like nothing.
Right.
So I think it's really important. But so, you know, so even if you find a workshop that's within driving distance, what you have to understand is there's a lot of other cost items associated. Because even, you know, you think, okay, the workshop, the hotel, and the travel to get there. But you got to think about the workshop supply list. And there are ways to save money on that, and you don't want to get too crazy with the new art materials, because you have to, if you're concerned and there's like, you know, 20 oil paints that you need to have those colors, I mean, reach out to the instructor and find out how you can perhaps not. I mean, maybe you can just mix your colors from ones that you have. I mean, you have to think about, saving money. I have students all the time who email me and say, hey, do you know of anybody that wants to share a room in a hotel? And
great.
If I have a match, then I'll certainly put two students together and figure out a way to help them save money. for this workshop here in Waco, we had people driving together, coming from the airport, where one person rented a car and two other people were with them, and they shared the cost of the car.
I think that makes so much sense.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but there's something about artists. They're all amazing and wonderfully friendly, and we've all been so fortunate that people who've never met have the ability to, kind of work together and save money. And I think you should always reach out to the instructor. And the instructor knows the inexpensive places to stay in most cases. They know
it's
ways
true.
That you can save money. Consider bringing your lunch, because group meals can be expensive.
Yeah.
And just, you really want to think about the one that you brought up that is so smart. If you're still working, you have to take days off from your job, and that's costly. And so maybe it's another reason to look at an online class, because, who wants to use up a ton of vacation days? So I think that's
important. It's kind of like the things you need to think about, right? Because what we're telling you is take a workshop, and we're telling you find one locally, and maybe that happens on the weekends, maybe that happens in the evenings, or maybe you have some flexibility in your job and you can do it one day a week, whatever. But we're also saying that we think it's great to travel to a workshop to build your relationships and communities and all that. And then we're telling you, and if you can't do any of those, don't forget that these online tutorials, workshops, whatever, are really starting to fill a really important need. But I think while we lay all that out there, the one thing I want to say, because we've kind of put the crown on the immersion, like for me, I would have to say that is the most wonderful, beneficial, but almost, I do feel like sometimes like it's a little indulgent to leave your home, which is, I'm having to leave home, but it's also the, yay, I get to leave home. But you're leaving home. You're then incurring some travel cost, whether you're driving or flying. You're paying for your workshop. You're bringing your materials. And the question is, have you thought of everything? Because the last thing I want to do is get someone hooked on this idea, and then they find out it costs twice what they thought, and they're in big trouble. So you got to think about things. If you've decided to go away, do you have childcare issues? Who's going to be watching the kids? So what's that going to cost you? Or in some cases, it's, your parents. I mean, you've got to just sort of think about, is there a cost to you being gone from your everyday life? You need to think about the fact that I will tell you almost everyone I know forgets to bring something. Are you going to have to replace anything? You've got to have a little cash in case there's something you need when you get to the location, right? You may decide, you can share materials with someone. You can call the instructor or email the instructor and find out what the basic materials required are. But don't forget, you've got to paint on something. It's not just about the paints or the brushes. You have to bring panels or canvases or whatever. You have to make sure you have the right luggage, particularly if you're flying, but even if you're driving. What are you going to pack all this in? Are you going to ship anything ahead? And if you do that, it makes your travel easy, but there's a cost. And I think you have to remember that when you go away to an in-person workshop, there's always a range of costs. And some of them are held at, more expensive locations in big cities, and others are maybe, at a community center and there's a Motel 6 nearby. But think about all that while you're selecting it, because I know that without sort of a financial sort of level of comfort, you're not going to get what you should out of the workshop. Tally it all up and then decide. Decide what's the right workshop for you and your finances now. I hope that makes sense.
And if you do that, you might decide that workshop isn't good this year, maybe it's next year. So you just need to plan ahead. And really, a lot of the popular workshops sell out, and they fill really quickly. So you want to give yourself time anyway.
Leslie.
Then just realize that without a workshop setting, or for whatever reason, you're going to need to challenge yourself anyway.
Yes.
So continue to ask for feedback from those whose opinions you value. And think about taking an online class, because the investment is practically nothing compared to what it costs to attend a workshop. And
so true.
Another thing you can do is there's this online 30-day challenge out there that Margaret, you have done, and I've done. How many times have I done it? 6 times I have.
Yeah.
It's a challenge that I host, that I do every January and September. And going from September to January is a little tough because there's not very many months in between. But it's such a great way to see other paintings that artists are doing, start conversations, engage for free with others who are artists, and consider ways to kind of get together with artists online. And, you know, plan ahead. Think about, you know, doing a challenge like the 30 and 30 only because it just gets you into painting, and it uncovers so many things and hurdles that we have, and it enables you to get past them because you have to paint every day. It's
yeah,
the most incredible thing.
And the truth is, that's another means of connecting with artists. I did not realize that. I will tell you, for the first 4, it was a mutual friend of ours who said to me, oh, I follow so-and-so now. I've been talking to her online because I saw her work. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, how did I miss that boat? And I picked it up and got on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know,
and you can,
consider.
You can start saving. Oh, and I was just going to say, you can also start saving money for the things you want. Skip the coffee.
Right.
Make
right.
your own. I mean, you could save
$4
a day.
I did get Starbucks for the first time in like a year and a half yesterday, and I was appalled at the price.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tell you. Shocking.
I do the Starbucks instant at home, and it costs like 50 cents a day.
Oh, I know, but
$5.
I can't get that nice foamy top, and you know.
Yeah.
But I won't be doing that very often. I was amazed. $5 bill gone. Anyway, you know, when all else fails, don't forget you can revert to a simple do-it-yourself group meeting. And yes, you can use email, but you can also try your hand. And trust me, there are very clear directions about how to set up a Google Hangout, which means
right.
that you're all on screen together. Just, you know, again, Google it. I did, and I thought, really, that's all there is to it? Just make sure
mm-hmm.
you kind of, you know, make sure everybody gets some screen time, because you want this to be a good experience, and, you know, it'll get you thinking forward into the future. You'll get a diverse group no matter what. I think you can't deny that the connections you make through any of these means are the ones that will sort of sustain you. I mean, Leslie, I sort of added this at the last minute, but it occurred to me, I had a call this week from a woman who I met. She was attending your workshop at the Cape last summer. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we keep in touch and she checks in. And I can't tell you the names of her children, but I know how her last show went. And it's kind of cool because to have relationships on that art level alone kind of takes a lot of the extra fluff of conversation out of it, and you know, introduces you to a whole nother sphere of someone's art. So.
Yeah, that's so cool. Well, listen, thank
anyway.
You, Margaret. Thank you for putting this show together. Thank
I
you for being my co-host.
Now.
I know, me too. I'm going to do another one. But I really just wanted to thank everybody for listening to today's show and supporting it. And excellent, excellent topic. Really
we'll
appreciate
be looking
it.
To hear more from Waco.
Oh,
post
you will.
Pictures.
I will. I promise.
All right. And let us know how it
all
goes
right,
to have
care.
A non-visual workshop.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.